Josiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Josiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Josiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. Excuse me. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 21st, 2016. Turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. Excuse me. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can also find my email address is pastor@wichitahomeless.com. pastor@wichitahomeless.com. Anyway, you can always find updates of the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. Now, at prophecyhour.com, you can find our email address, our mailing address, all the things that you can need to get a hold of us or to find out about our ministry. Also, I want to point out to you that you can mail us a letter if you want to put a prayer request that way, like a lot of folks do. We anoint it with oil. We take it to, when we take it to the mission church at our service, we take it prayer circle, anoint it with oil, we pray over it, we'll send it back to you. At no obligation to you, and without any other, you know, we're not going to send you solicitations for money. The solicitations we give you for money are on radio. In other words, we ask you now that to pray about a donation for radio or pray about a donation for the homeless and poor. Anyway, moving right along, our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com. Anyway, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like the United Kingdom, Ireland, Guyana, Iran, Israel, Russia, Brazil, as well as many cities right here in the good old USA, such as Minneapolis, Minnesota, Detroit, Michigan, Atlanta, Georgia, Houston, Texas, Chandler, Arizona, San Jose, California, Columbus, Ohio, Town and Country, Florida, and many, many others. And, of course, in Wichita, Kansas, where our biggest group of listeners are. So pray about it. And pray about you folks over there in Wichita, pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church, which we are doing in your city. Anyway, now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. But first, let me say that Passover, I pray that you are all celebrating Passover this year, as you should every year. That what better way to really find out, you know, normal Christians think, well, I do a thing called the Lord's Supper. Well, if you want to know what the Lord's Supper, so to speak, as they call it, is really about, it's about Passover. Go find yourself a Passover cedar someplace and go to it, and then you'll see. And I'm going to be publishing an article probably next week that's going to talk about the days, because, you know, a lot of people go by different calendars. Well, I'll explain to you why I go by the calendar that I go by and why it's unifying. You know, we are supposed to be without confusion. The Father, you know, he's not the author of confusion. And so he points us to things. These calendars, these people that are going out, I mean, I love you folks that go out and you think you're doing a good thing. I'm going to do it the ancient way, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to look for the sighted moon. Well, you know, what if somebody in Wichita sees a sighted moon? And somebody where I live at doesn't see the sighted moon. And then somebody in Oregon sees the sighted moon, but yet then somebody in Israel doesn't see it. So who do you go by? So everybody's on different dates. That's confusion. Don't you think that if the Father wanted everybody to go by the sighted moon, that he would either have a worldwide cloud cover over the earth, or he would have no cloud cover over the whole earth so everybody could see it? But by the way that Israel go their calendar, when they say the moon's there, the moon is absolutely there. Whether you can see it or not because of a cloud cover, the moon is there. And it's unifying. That way, by going to by that calendar, everybody across the world can celebrate the appointed time at the right time together. That's unifying, and that's not confusing. And what are you going to, so pray about it. But anyway, moving right along, take going to Passover this year, do it. Anyway, we'll say a prayer and bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, Kenneth up the Grove of Ark Haven Ministries has been on with us many times. In the past, after hearing his interviews, people went to see the land that he was led to, a land that Corey Ten Boom saw the visions of angels protecting the land. He says it's a place of refuge for the future. And now, folks, if you don't know who Corey Ten Boom is, you should Google her and see, because if you're into prophecy, then you should be into just knowing who Corey Ten Boom is. Anyway, after some of the people have seen this place, they've even bought property and moved down there. So a few weeks ago, the last time I spoke to him, I asked him about his wife, Laura, and told you folks that I would invite her on to, well, get a woman's point of view of their ministry. So we're going to talk to her and see where this conversation just goes to. So let's now welcome Laura up the Grove. Are you there with me, Laura?
I am here. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. Amen. Well, you've got a good radio voice. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Okay. Well, where would you like to begin? There's a whole book concerning coming here, but the main thing.
Okay, let's go with this. Dear, I know this is the first, and folks, this is the first time she's been on radio with me, so, you know, we kind of get to know each other. So, Laura, you know, first, tell us, you moved there to where Ken's at, so tell us, you know, how did you and Ken get together, and what led you to be there where you're at? Then we'll talk about the ministry.
Okay. Well, for a number of years, I was single. I went through a disastrous marriage many, many years ago, and it was basically what brought me to the Lord. I would say full-time to the Lord. Before then, I was a fence rider. Not really totally committed, but seeking. And without going into every detail, the Lord did just a great thing in my life, and I knew after my divorce that if I were to ever be married again, it would have to be with a man that loved him, and he would have to love God more than he loved me, because it could never work. It would otherwise not work. And I did a lot of things over the years. I went to the mission field. I trained horses. I did many things, went back to college, and just believing and trusting that anything I did, that my life was committed to him and to his purpose. I finally ended up in Dallas, Texas, working full-time, and Ken and I met online. And first off, I knew that Ken and I had a great deal in common, and we had hours and hours of conversation. I learned to respect him for very many reasons. But the bottom line was, when he asked me to, should we meet, you know, and see where this relationship would go to, I said no, because Ken lives in Arkansas. Now, I was born in Arkansas. I was born in Hot Springs while my dad was in the Korean War. And I have wonderful, wonderful relatives living in Little Rock. But all I remember of that area was a lot of heat and a lot of mosquitoes, so I never wanted to live there. And my idea of the Ozarks was mosquitoes and alligators and hillbillies. And so I decided, no, I this is great. You know, I'm not going for Arkansas. Sorry.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I had, really, I even told the Lord that. I said, I know this is a godly man. We have a lot in common. We have the same vision, really, about a Christian, you know, living close together and intentional neighbors and being in a country and living a simple life. I really believe that.
Yeah.
I was preparing
Amen.
For that.
Yeah.
And so I was doing my own thing and was saying, no, I think not. And driving into town one day, I was hit broadsided by a big black SUV, a Suburban. And really shook me up. I mean, it almost demolished my car.
Right.
And I was, and by the way, there were no men in black, unfortunately, inside. And the woman that was driving, she was not dressed in black, so, you know, I wasn't that concerned. As I was healing and going to the chiropractor and doing some introspection as to what had happened, the Lord just spoke to me as I was praying, because I was hurt. I mean, my neck hurt, my shoulders hurt, and I was going, this is not good. Something, you know, the Lord's trying to get my attention. This is just wasn't an accident. And he said, you're going the wrong way. And so I was just doing my own thing. And then I realized I had said something in my heart I would not do, and that is go someplace, because I didn't like the climate or the area. And that's not God's attitude. We should be able to go anywhere, because where he goes, it's the right place. And he's always shown me that was true. I had told him I was going to Dallas to work. I said, nah, not me, baby. I'm staying in East Texas. I'm going to get a horse and do my thing here and stay in the country. And that's not what happened. And when I relinquished that through a lot of prayer, and he spoke to me about it, everything fell into place, and I got some fabulous jobs and made good money, and I was kind of ashamed of myself for saying I was going to do that. But the same thing with this. It wasn't Ken. It was me and my fear of being uncomfortable. Well, when I came up here, the whole atmosphere was different than the lower part of Arkansas. The elevation is higher. It's cooler. The people were wonderful. I met numerous people. I mean, just being out in the area doing what I do, errands
right.
and things. I was running into Christians that said, yeah, you know, we were praying about where to go, and the Lord brought us here. And I asked them, well, why is that? And some of them didn't even know why. They just
yeah.
said, well, just believe that because of the way world economics and politics and a lot of reasons and our own heart towards other believers and ministry, that this is where we were told to go. I was amazed. I mean, for the first couple of years up here, I kept running into people like that. And
no,
so it's an interesting situation. We don't know exactly when or how, you know, our political climate or economy will run the country and what's really going to happen as far as the date goes. But we know whatever happens, we have a core group of people up here, a small group of people, that
right.
are just sold out for God. And they trust him, and they believe him. And this has been the cry of our hearts.
Amen.
Able to have home meetings and pray. And if
let me make a couple comments.
Sure.
Number one, you know, I that sounds like, you know, I've had the same story myself where I said, you know, you don't tell God no. When you tell him no, he usually makes you do what you say you ain't going to do most of the time. And it's almost like he's sitting up there laughing at us when he does that. But he knows what's best for us, the point. And so he'll do what he can to get our attention. And so, folks, I really want you to hear the testimony that she just gave. And, you know, if you can, you're wearing the age that you didn't miss it, but even though we're on live radio, you're going to be able to play it back and play it for others. But listen to that and see if that isn't working maybe in your own life. You're hitting some brick walls. But, Laura, It's really amazing. I mean, you know, you can see the Father's hand on you, especially when he brought you to a place. There's other people around you. I mean, you may not be living neck and neck with everybody, but the point is you're a place where other people have brought you, have been brought. And so that's the thing about the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not just one person. If you don't find a whole bunch of other people that are feeling the same ways that you do, then there's usually something wrong. There's going to be other people hearing from the Father. And so, you know, it is a place of safety. I do believe that. And but going from that, you know, I really want to make sure that we get in, because I'm going over what you had sent me. And I really want to go into this about I want to know about your dream. I think that's really important to the people, you know, about the living room dream you told me about after you said that about, and you lead into it just like you did about Planet X or whatever. I don't know what Planet X is, but a lot of people are seeing it, and even newspapers are now talking about another planet getting close. So why don't we go into that and tell us that story? We got about 6 minutes for a break.
Okay. Ever since I was 3 years old, I had a recurring dream, and it never varied. It was always exactly the same, and it happened at least twice a year as I grew up and into being a teenager. It never varied. I was in my parents' home and at night, and my mother and father were in the living room, and I was frantic to try to get them to come outside. And I couldn't tell them why. I just kept telling them something is going to happen. And I was pleading with them and pleading with them, please come outside. Something's going to happen. And they wouldn't. And so I went out into the front yard myself. And there in the horizon, which filled a good part of the horizon, was a great big planet. I mean, if you can imagine the full moon, except many, many times larger, and it was a pale pink color. And I gazed up at the big planet and just wondered as to what it was, and then I would wake up. And that dream was repeated as I grew up, and it never varied until I was 17. Now, when I was 17, I had an encounter with the Lord that I don't want to go into great detail here. It's just too involved, but just say I was in a situation where I needed him very badly.
Amen.
And I woke up in the morning after going to a party, and believe me, I was a party girl back then.
Right.
And was very troubled about something I had done in that party.
Yeah.
And I'm going, oh, this is not good. And I woke up to a sermon. And the sermon was, I mean, it was the gospel. It was a pastor. I fell asleep listening to Led Zeppelin and then woke up hearing this sermon. And I heard this man's voice talk about the Lord, about Jesus, about who he was. And it was like, you know, the Holy Spirit was just there in my room, and that it really changed me. I didn't become just a solid straight walking Christian at that point. I really stumbled over the years. However, a seed was planted, and I believed it. And so, you know, as I stumbled, I grew out of that, of course. However, that dream stopped at that point. I never had that dream again. And my own personal feeling about that is that what I saw signified judgment. And that when I met the Lord, I had met the remedy for that judgment in my own life. So I believe that whatever we're headed for, whatever this earth is headed for, and I've listened recently to numerous people talk about Planet X, and evidently the Vatican has invested millions of dollars, and they wouldn't have done that if it had just been to casually do stargazing. They wouldn't be doing that. And
something
is headed towards the earth, something big. Now, when it's going to get here, I don't think anybody knows. But if you read, there was a wonderful book many years ago, Villakovsky wrote a book called Earths in Collision. I think that was the name of it, something like that. Now, he spoke about comets and the planet Venus being out of its orbit and coming very close to Earth and doing, you know, causing great havoc upon the Earth. And then the destruction and the catastrophic events would coincide with many biblical events and events all over the world where there were enormous tsunamis and earthquakes and buildings fell down and walls crumbled and mountains came down. So these catastrophic events is quite possibly connected to whatever is going to be happening here in our own solar system. So
We're getting close to break. Let me talk a minute. Number one, amen. You know, I love you talking about your experience. You know, that wasn't wrong. I know a lot of stations would do that. Radio stations, they'll play, you know, on Saturday night, they would play rock and roll music. And then in the morning, they'd have a Sunday morning sermon. Amen. That was no mistake. That was a divine appointment with you. As for you regretting what you did at a party, well, amen. That's regret. Repentance is a path to salvation. And folks, are you listening to that? You know, that it doesn't happen overnight. You know, a lot of people, the church tries to tell you why you get, they get saved, and everything's cleaned up instantly all at once. Well, yeah, but it's still work. It still takes most of us a while to work to get to that place that we're at. Yeah, we're under grace during that period of time, but, you know, it takes us a while. To me, getting closer to Messiah is a lifetime experience. I find out things still today that I'm not doing quite right. So, Laura, I really love how this testimony is going. You know, I was wondering how you sounded. I did try to call you a while ago, but I don't know. I didn't get through, but I'm really glad to have you on. You're very well spoken, and so we'll have a good conversation when we come back. Do you know the website, or you want me to give it out?
Oh, I'm sorry. Say that again.
I said, do you know the website address, or do you want me to give it out? Arkhaven Wave. I'll do it. Okay, folks.
His website is arkhaven.org. Yes.
Well, you don't have another one, do you? Do you have a website?
It's very close to being finished. It's very close. It's not quite up. I have the website. I possess it, but it's just not up there
yet.
Well,
we won't do that. I have a feeling we're going to be talking again, and we will let you give your website. Then when you get it up. You know, you get it up, and we'll put it up. But I'm sure you also have a link off of the Arkhaven Ministry site to yours. Folks, anyway, it's arkhaven.org. It's arkhaven.org. And we'll come back and talk more with Laura in 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, remember to pray tonight for a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor that come from all over the city. People who work part-time just to keep a roof over their head. Man, they don't have enough money for everything. They come looking for food, clothing, first aid, over-the-counter medications, Bibles, the gospel, miracle prayers. You name it, they come looking for it. So this place has been a blessing for so many people. And so pray about it, especially you folks in Wichita. Pray about supporting what we do. You know, really, charity, you know, this, we're talking about charity. If you look up the word charity from the Strong Concordance, charity actually says love. And that's what charity is about, is loving your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, it's not the city of Wichita's job to care for the people, and it's not the government's job to care for the people. It is the body of Messiah that's supposed to care for their people. That's you and me. We are the ones that are supposed to do that. You don't know. Well, I need donations. You don't have to donate to me. In fact, you should be looking around in the cities that are next to you to see if there's people that are worthy that you can help. But you're supposed to pray about things. You're supposed to make sure that wherever you're giving your money to, that's the Father's money. What was his intent for it? Did he want it to go build beautiful cathedrals, you know what I mean? Big buildings to the sky, places that have bowling alleys and tennis courts inside? Or did he want you to help your neighbor? Did he command you to build those tennis courts and bowling alleys and, you know, all of those things? Or did he tell you to love your neighbor as yourself? And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you look and see your neighbor and he's in distress. Should you not give them the need? You know, in fact, that's more of what you're going to be judged on is love than anything else. You know, Messiah is going to separate the sheep from the goats. And that's basically what it's going to be about, is about love. What do you do out of love? And first off, you know, one thing else I got to say is, you know, how many of you folks out there have ever did something sacrificial for the Father, you know, or for, you know, for Yeshua? Have you ever did anything sacrificial? And what's that mean? You say, well, I ain't, you know, sacrificial system's gone away with. Well, the first sacrifice that you make is you're supposed to let your old self die, and that's a willing sacrifice. Get rid of your old self. Let that new self come through. But beyond that, sacrifice, I mean, how have you ever taken something that was pleasurable to you, or did without because you wanted to do something for somebody else, you know, because you felt it was the right thing to do? That's the kind of thing that the Father does to you. You know, my whole life is about sacrifice, as is our family. Our life is about sacrificing ourselves so that we can serve the Father. Well, how do we serve the Father? We serve the Father and His Son by serving people. And that's what we do. So that's what we do at the Mission Church, and that's what we do in our life, and that's what I'm doing right now with you, you know. In a sense, you know, I sacrifice privacy for you so that you've got access to my cell phone. In fact, I had people tell me, there goes your privacy, Pastor Dan, when you give out that cell phone. Well, I'm here if you need a prayer. That's the point. But I'm also being here to warn you. You know, I have a lot of controversial guests on sometimes, and people say, well, aren't you worried about maybe somebody listening to that and getting into, well, you know what? I do what the Father put on my heart, and there is my safety. You know, there is my safety. But I'm obedient, but I believe that we should be warned. In fact, I believe it's the duty of all Christians to warn one another that evil's coming. Read Ezekiel 33 if you don't believe me. It is our duty to, one, warn when bad things are coming and warn of evil, wicked things. And believe me, this country is getting more and more so evil and wicked. When we have to fight over bathrooms to keep our children safe and people aren't seeing it, they say it's okay for anybody to use any kind of bathroom that you want. Really? They're trying to change society, and Christianity isn't standing up for it. You know, we should be standing up for the stopping of it. We should be yelling. There's enough Christians in this country that if we all yelled at once, you could be heard without any kind of microphone all over the world. You know, I mean, it's supposed to be 87% are Christian in this country. I don't believe that all are practicing that claim to be Christian, but, you know, if just 25% or even 20% or 10% stood up and spoke their voice about this, then, you know, things might change. Things might change. And I actually believe that's what they're doing with Trump coming to be presidency. You know, I don't know if he's going to make it or not, and there's some things that he says that I don't agree with, but he's still not what the other guys are, the New World Order crowd. Anyway, so I need to get back to this. So anyway, when guidelines stop people from you know, from getting things at agencies. They send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we're responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. At prophecyhour.com. And remember, Passover this weekend. I mean, Passover, Messiah became our Passover lamb. That's what it's all about. Anyway, we're now back talking about a place of safety with Laura Uptergrove. Where are you still with me, Laura? Laura?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
Okay, sorry.
It's all right. Did you have yourself muted or something?
So, a little mic here could have turned, it flipped over, and I don't know what happened, but
oh, don't,
it's working.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I love live radio because, you know, I just like to relax and have a, you know, a conversation, and little things happen, and that's no big deal. So we're just relaxed and move right along. Anyway, the Planet X thing. So are you and Ken convinced that, or are you convinced of Planet X, or do you, your dream sure sounds like a Planet X dream? Back to you.
It sounds to me like a portent of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's a judgment of America, it's the world. It's the world that the Lord is going to deal with. And I do believe that we are preparing for the end time harvest, and every believer should be completely given over to that. What is your next move? Where am I to go? Lord, what do you want with my life? How are you to prepare me? I can't say absolutely for sure. I know in my lifetime that Planet X is going to come and bring catastrophe. However, once we hear numerous astronomers say the same thing over and over, something is out there, and it's
right.
Coming our way. That, at least... Yeah. If we do a reality check, whether you're a Christian or not, what are you going to do about that? I mean, the scripture says that the kings of the earth, and meaning those who have money, go underground. They go into the tunnels and the caves of the earth. Well, they go into the caves of the earth because out of fear and knowing that the Lord is bringing judgment upon them. They're terrified. They're definitely terrified of what is going on around them. And whether that be his second coming, when he appears to everybody on the earth, or whether there is a judgment that comes or a trial before that, it could be many of those. It says the earth is going to undergo birth pains. And it doesn't matter who our president is. There
right.
aren't any systems that is going to save us. We have to have salvation in him. All the systems of the world are imploding.
Right.
And if well, we believe that
Laura,
we can...
Laura, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think about all this? I mean, you know, I said it a minute ago, but, you know, looking out across America and seeing... You know, whether it's the way, you know, women and men dress, or whether it's the way that, you know, all the frisky out, you know, people, they push porn and all these other things, and now they're saying that it's okay for gay marriage, and they're saying anybody can use whatever bathroom they want, you know. How do you feel about all that? Do you think that's a sign?
Oh, it is definitely a sign. It's a sign of human beings being so far removed from God and his ways that they have decided that they will go their own way. And this is just signs of the times. I mean, this, we're living in ancient Rome. And if you ever read anything about Rome, it was an extremely corrupt society. They relied on their own system of conquest. And, they gathered around them, a lot of money, a lot of power, a lot of conquest. They had a sense of order, because their empire was so vast. However, they became, so corrupt, that there was no such thing as morals. I mean, they lived, totally promiscuous and did whatever they want. So, we're in ancient Rome again. I mean, we're in that time. We're in that time that the country is going to destroy itself if it doesn't change. Or
right.
If the word does not go forth the way it should and people's hearts are not broken so that they know that there's nothing they can depend on except him.
Right.
And I believe even if we do get a good president in the sense of, now I don't believe even for a minute that any president can fix the system and everything's going to be fine. That's just not true. I hope we get a good president that can at least give us the freedom to put the gospel on the air and further the gospel for his purposes. Now, that's what we need. We need somebody that will allow us to do that. The system's not going to be fixed. However, we're a part of this country. We live here. And the stewardship is that we go and vote. So I really hope people go vote. Don't just sit home and say because we're not going to have an evangelical president that it's a sin to vote. And I heard this for years and years, and it used to just make me furious that Jesus himself said that my kingdom is not of this earth. And he was talking to Pilate when he said that, and so it is. However, we're supposed to be in this world. We're supposed to function here. You know, we're the salt of this place,
right.
And we're the salt and the light. So we're not trying to make it a Christian country. We're just trying to, by proper stewardship, do the intelligent thing and go vote. So
yeah.
I hope that happens. Even if, okay, just say that Trump does become president, that is not going to stop the tide of terrorism that is on the verge of breaking out in this country. It is not.
No.
Okay, it's already here. It's been here for a long time. I worked, I did some hospital security in a big hospital in South Dallas. Now, if you know anything about South Dallas, it's like a war zone. Okay, it was a pretty exciting job. I had a lot of fun doing that job. But while I was there, they sent me to a training program as a representative of the hospital for civil preparedness. So the police and firemen and the hospital people were all there, and we were we just had an all-day classroom. We had various speakers that taught on NBC and nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare, and other things, terrorism. And one of the speakers was an FBI fellow, and he spoke to the class, and he was just dead serious. He said, most of what we have found in terrorist operations never gets to the media. You never hear about what we have stopped. You know, and I believe that. I believe that. He said they're here, they've been here, and this was in 2000 that I went to class. And so that was just before, you know, 9/11 happened. But they're here, and it's going to happen. So if you think about what it would take to wake people up into the reality of what's going on around us, if you're not led by the Spirit of God, your life might depend going on the mall to the mall that day, or allowing your children to go to the mall, or allowing your children to go to school. If you don't pray, if you don't hear from Him, and you're not serious with Him, your life is going to depend on that. No matter how big our economy is, these things are allowed to happen in societies to wake people up. To let them know how tenuous their life is. And that's God's desire, is not to wipe people out. His desire is to wake them up. And that's why the disasters on the earth, the weather, the insane weather, the earthquakes, everything, the whole earth is shaking. The world is shaking. Hebrews says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But that's physically, too. Everything in our sense of what is in control. Am I in control? Am I out of control? How can I stop this? Where can I go? It all has to do with our love of God and us knowing Him, because that's the only safe place to be. And so, the terrorism, it's going to happen. It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be real bad. And how are people going to respond to that? We have a friend, Ken and I have a friend, two close friends, a couple that live in Texas. The husband was working at the Twin Towers back in 2001. And he's a believer. He's a praying believer. He had a good job. He had a real good job. He made good money. He was involved in computer work. He liked the people he worked with. Well, he was praying one day. He was shut in his room and just praying before the Lord, and the Lord said, quit your job. And it's like, huh, what? This is in August of 2001. Quit your job. And it didn't make any sense to him at the time, but he quit his job. 2 weeks later, everyone he knew except one man was dead because the Twin Towers came down. And that's the kind of faith we're going to have in what's coming on this earth.
Right.
We don't live by our talents, by our salary, by what we know how to do. We live by faith. The just live by faith.
Amen.
And I have heard this argument, especially online, about salvation. Can I lose my salvation? And even some people just get furious when you suggest that there's anything they have to do after they're saved. And they don't understand sanctification or obedience. Oh, now I'm saved. I believe that. And I can just kind of go live the way I want. How much of the church really believes that? I would say probably most of them. They're living in an unreal place. If you can't get to the point of where our friend was, you got money in the bank and you've got more coming in. If you even suggest to your own mind or to your family or whoever that you believe the prosperity gospel of people like Ken Copeland, if you believe that stuff, you're not going to make it.
No.
Because the prosperity gospel, people think in their mind, hey, I got money, got a big car, got a big house, God is good. What if he asks you to walk away from that, like he did our friend? Well, he's alive, and the people he knew at the Twin Towers are not. I'm not saying he was the only one that got the message. However, how many people are willing to walk away from that much physical comfort and that much money as an obedience to what God is trying to tell them to do? Or where to put your money? What to do? What's important? You know what you were saying just a few minutes ago about supporting your ministry? And what I'm going to say is definitely not some sort of a template for people in the way they act, because we don't give to get. We give because we love. When I was in the Dallas area, one evening I went out to run some errands, and I wanted to get something to drink, so I pulled off the freeway, and going off the freeway, there were two black men there with a little sign, saying they needed money. Well, that was very common, there in that part of Dallas.
Right.
And I just felt, and it's none of my business what they want the money for. I just felt compelled. The Holy Spirit said, stop and give them some money. And I just looked at this desperation in this man's face, and I think he just needed food. I really feel that in my spirit. So I gave him what I had. I gave him $5 because that's all I had in my wallet. And I said, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus because he really loves you. And I didn't have time. I was my truck was where it shouldn't be. So I said, here.
Right.
Oh, thank you. In the name of Jesus, I said, I'm giving you this. And I'm not kidding you. 5 minutes later, I went to a convenience store to get a bottle of water. And there was nobody in the store. The store was empty. And I found a $20 bill laying on the floor. A $20 bill. I thought, hey, how often does this happen? It was just amazing. I mean, I didn't give money to people that needed it because I thought, now I'm going to go find money. That's right. I'm out to find money. No, it's just something that happened. I was just compelled by the Spirit to do that. You know, the Lord was showing me something.
Let me say something here. We've got about 4 minutes left, but real quickly, I love everything you're saying. That's why I've been trying to be quiet because, you know, right now you're being led by the Spirit to say what you need to say. But, amen, you know, no president is going to pull us out of this muck that we're in. Another president might give us some time to still warn some people and to bring some people into salvation. But the biggest thing that you said all through that was, you got to have that personal relationship. Are you willing to walk away from if he does speak to you and you do hear him, are you willing to walk away from what you're comfortable with or what you're pleasurable with to walk to where he wants you to be? And that's what it's about. In this time, it's going to be what he wants for us and not what we want for ourselves. And you know what? That's why your testimony is so special, because you walked away from a different kind of life. You had a prosperous life. You had good jobs. You walked away from that, and what? You still found peace, though. You didn't think that you would, but you found peace. You thought you were going to find mosquitoes and alligators. That's funny. But that's really funny, Laura. But I don't blame you for thinking it. But you found something else entirely. Amen. You got about 2 minutes before we have to go. What do you want to leave the people with? You got about 3 minutes, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, the bottom line is we need to turn off all of our electric gadgets and the entertainment, the cell phones. I mean, I know these things are good tools. I mean, we're using them right now. And I believe the Internet's going to be used for evangelism. I really do. But until, you know, the Lord God that made you, until he is everything to you, if you're suckered in to massive amounts of entertainment and cycles of fast food and entertainment, just one thing after another, and you don't believe that you can hear God, I'll tell you, one of the reasons why the demonic realm, the spirit realm, that veil is becoming thinner and thinner, and the fascination with witchcraft and with the occult and with perversions of all kinds of people believing that that they have control of all of their own life. Part of that has to do with the electronic world and the global mind of people being plugged into something that always feeds them. You know, they're either always on the phone, they're always texting, they're always plugged into some sort of information, some sort of entertainment, some sort of, you know, depraved thing that you see on online. And that pulling in of the human soul, when you're focused on that, you block out the Holy Spirit of God. He can't get through because you're constantly feeding your senses, constantly. And the Internet world, you know, the world of electronics, it's like a web all around the earth. And it's opening up people's spirits to the fallen realm because of their sensuality. And that is why as the earth comes closer to judgment, that they will love the occult and they will love the experiences of the cult and the things of Satan far more than they love God.
So the
line is being drawn in the sand. You know, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? Turn off everything and get alone with God and just cry out to him. Even if you think you're a believer and you think you know it all, you may not.
Amen. I agree with you. I got to break in. We're going to be gone, and we need to say goodbye. We'll do this again, Laura. I really enjoy your message, and I know the people will listen to it. Folks, go check them out at rcaven.org. And Laura, soon you let us know when you put that website up, okay?
Yes, heavenandearthchronicles.com. It will be up soon.
heavenandearthchronicles.com. That sounds really good. All right, well, I love you, and I got to let you go. Tell Ken I said hi, and we'll talk again. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Folks, pray about supporting Wichita Minister, the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. Pray about it. If you could do a donation before Passover, that would be really great. We're still short on some things. But anyway, remember, there is really only one God, and He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the past, is the way to the Father. And I'm thinking about Passover. 3 days and three nights. That was the way it was laid out over Passover. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing for others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Lord our God, Father King Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.